And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome in to RBLR Bucks, your blazing hot source for all things Tampa Bay football. My name's Musab. I'm one of your co-hosts tonight, and I'll tell you this. The sun's high, the streets are sizzling, and the only thing hotter than a Florida summer is the talk around this Bucks squad. So whether you're catching rays or ducking into the AC, we got your off-season fire right here. No fluff, no fantasy, just straight Tampa Bay football talk. And, of course, shout-out to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down for the Bay. Rays, Rowdies, Bolts, you already know what time it is. But special salute to the Tampa Bay Sun, who just brought home the USL Super League Championship this past weekend. I was there, and let me tell you, I promise you, it's so worth it. Very, very just proud moment for the city, so I'm very excited. But, me mateys, today it's all about that red, white, and blue. And I mean that because the NFL logo, because we're running it back with a little spicy talk all around the league reflection. You know, so toss your hottest takes in the comments. We be reading them all. No cowards, only bold Buccaneers. So pour yourself something cold, kick back and relax. Drop that anchor with us. This pod's about to run hotter than the asphalt on Dale Mabry. This week, we're bringing in the heat with the new tandem in the trenches. So forget your usual pairing. No, this time we're going throwback. It's Wednesday, but we're going throwback Thursday. This duo is rolling in like Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp. A duo built to cause havoc and cook takes in the backfield. One slicing off the edge, the other's detonating the interior. Folks, you better buckle up. First in the rotation, he's sharp. He's relentless and always ready to collapse the pocket on weak narratives. Mr. Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend?
Man, let's go, Musab. That got me more pumped up than I've been in a long-ass time, brother. I could not be more pumped up right now. How are you doing, bud?
So far, so good. Just, another day closer to the start of the, regular season. I think last week it was like 199. So the good news is we're in the double digits.
Hey, there we go.
So... yeah, I mean, there's always something going on in the sports world, of course, but, it's always, interesting to also see these spicy eyebrow-raising articles that are also posted on social media, but I'm not going to dig deeper into any of that because
it's the time.
We got to introduce the final puzzle piece to this iconic trio. Lining up behind Zach, it's the verbal wrecking ball. Fast hands, fast thoughts. And never backing down from the smoke. Mr. Carter Brantley, how goes it, my friend?
Oh, it goes well. Really eventful week, like you said, in Tampa Bay sports. My goodness, the Sun, shout out to them. That's awesome. I know they had a parade or something today, and it seemed like a great time. So, I'm glad to hear you had such a great time at the game, Mr. Tariq. That was awesome. It's been really cool seeing all that stuff. And the Rays are... maybe being sold. I don't know. It's kind of the closest we've been to that happening in a long time.
But, thank God.
You never know with the Rays. Some crazy stuff could go down. But listen to the Rays show for that. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about it, and rightfully so. You know, it's an interesting topic. But we're talking about the Bucks. You know, this is the Bucks show. And we've got some fun stuff for you. In case you couldn't tell by the wonderful wordplay by Mr. Tariq, we are running it back with some lists. And this time we're doing running backs. That was awesome, Mr. Tariq. I just wanted to shout out that wordplay. Shakespeare would be jealous. But that was really fun. So we're going to be talking about running back rankings, our top 10 running backs in the NFL. We're going to have some variety. We're going to have some different names included. And that's the whole point. That's what we're trying to do here. So we'll start off just getting our list out. We'll go turn by turn and sort of justify each spot. And then the second half of the episode, we're going to be talking about how we came to those conclusions, if we used any data or any, kind of feelings, vibes, because it all kind of goes into the mix. And we'll be talking about how difficult it is to rank these running backs, because running backs can be dependent on the situation. So we'll get into a lot of different topics centered around running backs towards the second half of the episode. But we'll kick things off. Mr. Tariq, you kicked off the episode in such an electrifying manner. I kind of want to hear your list first. So who are your top 10 running backs for us?
Oof. All right, here we go. I'm going number one, Mr. Saquon Barkley. The Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, how do you not go him number one? Set the Eagles single season scrimmage record, all pro, offensive player of the year. MVP voting. I mean,
Just, I don't even know what else to say. I mean, I feel really bad for the Giants because for them to get rid of such an iconic player. I mean, he did exactly what, you know, we all expected, what we all wanted. I mean, you know, this is exactly, you know, those moments where you're like, yep, you know, I knew this from the day I saw him in college. And that is true, honestly. I mean, I remember he was just taken off at Penn State. So right behind him, though, I'm going to go Derrick Henry. I got him right behind there. I feel like he is the, I guess, iconic, you know, running back. I mean, he's just an absolute big dog. I mean, you know, you don't think about – when you think about running backs, you think about a little bit more of a – on the shorter side, stocky, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, he's stocky as hell, but he's also pretty tall. I think 6'2", 6'3". So,
6'3", yeah.
Yeah, so second in the NFL with rushing yards and – just, yeah, 16 rushing yard touchdowns. He actually even got two receiving touchdowns. But, I mean, those two are just, you know, they're kind of like neck and neck. I just got to give it to Saquon just because of his kind of, you know, the other extra accolades. But this is where it gets a little bit interesting. All right, not really, but I'm going to go Bijan Robinson from the Falcons just because I have to say just the, I want to say improvement or just how much we saw from him this year compared to his rookie season. I mean, that all that hype talk, it finally kind of showed up on the field. Absolute baller. He had like over 1,400 rushing yards. Even was also a threat on the reception, you know, side as well. 61 receptions for 430 yards. So just beast. I'm going to go number four. I keep forgetting how to pronounce it. Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So again, I mean, they got so many threats with the Lions, but you know, of course, he was a huge, huge factor in the run game, of course. 1,400 yards as well. And just, you know, he actually tied the NFL rushing touchdown, I think, for this year. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because, yeah, he racked up. And he also set up a Lions record with 20 total touchdowns. But very cool. I do want to say I'm only going to go number five because I kind of want to, you know, see where y'all's five are at and where my five are at. Because I don't want to just keep jibbering-jabbering, but... The last one is because I want to hand it off to y'all because I'm going Bucky Irving at number five. Okay. Sure. You know, there it's debatable. We could put a couple guys up there. But let me tell you something. What I like about Bucky Irving, of course, he's a Buccaneer. And, you know, I mean, who doesn't love Bucky? But unlike every single one of these guys on my list, Bucky stole the show. It wasn't his show at first. It was the Bucky and Rashad White show. But, you know, halfway through the season, it was all about Bucky. Sorry, Rashad White, but I mean, he stole the show. He took off, and I mean, just he basically just showed, you know, he is a, you know, he's a three down threat. And, you know, he surprised me because I remember I was a little bit on him. You know, I was like, okay, you know, he's a little bit smaller, but he's shifty. I still remember I was like, oh, we should have just got someone like Braylon Allen, but I take back everything I said. God bless America and God bless Bucky Irving.
Wow. What a bold proclamation from Mustafa Tariq. I love it. And I do love going 5-5-5-5-5. Yeah, that's a great idea. So I'll pass the floor or pass the baton, if you will, to Mr. Blaine for his top five.
Yeah, so mine, it's all the same guys, but I've got it flip-flopped a little bit. I went Derrick Henry, 1, 93.5 rushing grade on PFF, led the league with PFF rushing grade last season, had the most missed tackles and second in runs of 10 yards or more. Granted, Lamar plays a big role in that, but I think that he was exactly what Baltimore needed to kind of unlock all of their offense. It made the passing game more exciting because people were kind of honing in on Henry. So I think he played a big role, and obviously I've got Saquon second. Those two are interchangeable. I think you could put them 1-1-1, like they're 1A and 1B in my opinion. Those two are the only ones on this list that I think are kind of far apart from everyone else. So I got Saquon at 2, most runs of 10 plus yards, a PFF rushing grade of 82.7, which I thought was low, so I could be off on that, but he seemed more effective than that. You saw what happened. He is a big reason why the Eagles are Super Bowl champions and a big reason why they are going to be a threat next year or this upcoming season as well. And then I flipped 3 and 4 from what you had, Musab. I have Gibbs as 2, finished top 5 in missed tackles, top 5 in runs of 10 plus or more. Kind of dangerous anytime he gets the ball. And this is wild splitting time. Like he's kind of a 1A, 1B, whereas most of the guys on my list are the lead back. So that's why he would be higher if he wasn't a split back, in my opinion. He would be up there challenging those two for first and second. I got Bijan at 2. He had a 92 – or a Bijan at 4, pardon me. 92.1 PFF rushing grade last season. That's second in the league. And touching on what Musab said, he had an 82.2 receiving grade, which is – I mean, I believe he was one of the top – he wasn't number one. That's my number 5 guy. But he was up there in top 5 for receiving grades as a running back, which is impressive. And – it's hard for me to put him at 4 because he's a Falcon. So there's a chance he could be higher, but playing on the Falcons, he is the best player on that team. At least offensively, I would go as far as to say on the entire team, but he's a stud. And then number 5, you're spot on. I got Bucky Irving there. 90.0 rushing grade, 90.2 receiving grade. That's the second highest of the position. And I think that he is a massive reason that our running game took a step forward last season. And again, he wasn't the primary guy for the first half of the season. So to see him kind of grow, and I think that if he has another season like last season, but is the full-time starter, full-time number one guy, we could see him jump up to 3 by next offseason.
Yes.
I like
that. Was fantastic. I 100%. Yeah, Bucky's one of those guys where like he's kind of a victim of not having a really full season of being a starting running back.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, like it's hard to keep him out of that top 3. You know, like it is kind of difficult to not, like you said, dump him higher. But
had he been the primary guy from day one, it would have been him and Gibbs fighting for 3, in my opinion.
Yeah. No. 100%. Yeah, that was fantastic. That was really, really well done. And I'm glad someone put Derrick Henry first, because it's, you know, I'm trying to get variety. And there's a very real argument for him to be better than Saquon Barkley. You know, like it is not like, oh, what are you doing? Like, it's very much like, oh, okay,
that, cool. That's why I said those two, like you could interchange them. I think it's clear that those two are the two guys in the league.
100%.
But after that, like, I feel like those two could be interchanged. And after that, that's why I love doing running backs, because it's just kind of whatever you're feeling. Like the bottom 10 or the bottom 8 of that 10 could be anyone that you see. Like you're like, this guy's going to do this. And it was fun making this list for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so difficult to predict from year to year which running back is going to have a great season, because age is such a huge factor with the running back position. I think even bigger than a lot of other positions. The mileage that they, you know, that they have on their tires, so to speak, as well as situation, you know, and we'll get into all that in the second half, but I'll get into my list too. So my first, I went Saquon first. I totally understand Derrick Henry being first in a lot of lists, because Derrick Henry was also that good. It's just tough because you got to separate, like, Saquon's behind that dominant Eagles offensive line that got DeAndre Swift paid. Like, DeAndre Swift, one of the worst running backs in football last year with the Bears, because he was not running behind, you know, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey and all these just amazing players on the offensive line. So he took a big step back. So it makes sense that a great running back, Saquon Barkley, would have an elite season.
Yeah.
So he was 4th in EPA per rush, 2nd in yards per carry, really efficient with the ball in his hands, and 2nd in total yards after contact. Like, as much as I'm sitting here saying, oh, well, it's behind that offensive line, he's great. Like, he can get 5 to 7 yards just by, you know, getting the ball. But at the same time, like, he was also doing some stuff, you know, like he was also
that backwards hurdle. That's the Madden cover. I mean,
yeah, no, it's insane. Like what he was doing out there. He was just on one. He had a ridiculous year. 2nd, Derrick Henry. Like I said, there's a very real argument for Derrick Henry to be first. Like, he was 1st in yards per carry, 1st in total yards after contact, 2nd in first down rate. But like Zach said, the Lamar magnetism, so to speak. It can be tough to kind of separate that as well. But Derrick Henry was also running a lot. Like, they were running not just the classic pistol read option that Lamar was doing for most of the beginning of his career. Like, he was lining up under center. So there was a lot of traditional running going on, and Derrick Henry was still eating. So, you know, he's still impressive. It's him and Saquon in that tier. And then it gets to the second tier, which is still elite, elite running backs.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson at three, all the reasons y'all mentioned. He also played for the Falcons. Like you said, Zach, he's the best player in that team. So it's tough not to have him third. But Jahmyr Gibbs is also tough to only have fourth. Like, he was first in EPA per rush. He was first in explosive play rate. Like, he's an amazing factor in the pass game. Like y'all have been saying, like, with the ball in his hands, like, it doesn't matter. Pass, screen, handoff, whatever it is, like, he's going to do something crazy. My thing is, like, you got to separate him from the Lion situation. He had Ben Johnson as his play caller. He had a decent quarterback with Jared Goff, an elite offensive line, really good playmakers around him. So, you know, you put Bijan Robinson in that situation, it'd be really fun to see how similar or how much better, how much worse that he would be than Jahmyr Gibbs. So it's tough to separate that. But again, we'll get into it. And then fifth, I also have Bucky Irving. I think we're unanimous in that aspect. Third in EPA per rush, just was only basically a starter for half a year. So he is elite in a lot of rate stats, kind of falls behind in terms of volume, which kind of knocks him down a few pegs. Otherwise, he would be really, really high. So we'll go with the second half of our running back list as well. I'll go 6 through 10. This gets a little bit more murky because, you know, there's this top two, and then I think 3 through 5 is their own tier as well. And then 6 through 10 is kind of a hodgepodge. I can't really say that I'm super, like, if, you know, we're going to disagree, we're going to have a lot of different mentions, and I can't really argue with any of them because it's kind of nebulous. So 6, I got Jonathan Taylor. How much can he actually do in that Colts offense? They were rough last year with Anthony Richardson. 4th in rushing yards. He had a pretty good year. He's also historically a really good running back. Josh Jacobs, not super efficient, but very much a workhorse. He can tote the rock. It's hard to rank him higher than this, though, because, like I said, the efficiency wasn't there, and the Packers offense is really good. 8th, I put Christian McCaffrey in there. I know it's tough. He's been hurt. He's been, you know, but you got to respect the OG, because if he's healthy, like, he could have one of those Christian McCaffrey light years, and it would be really cool. 9th, I have Chuba Hubbard. Thank you. He managed a solid season despite the Panthers having a really weak start. Not super efficient, but really solid. I don't know. This might, because the analytically inclined approach to this is to go with the more efficient running backs, because they're primed, like, oh, well, if they get more carries, they'll be better. But I also respect the fact that, like, these guys are toting the rock. Like, they're getting these carries and they're still putting up production. So that's kind of the slant that I took. But I know y'all will have some different stuff as well. And then Kyren Williams, sort of similar to Chuba Hubbard, not very efficient because, man, he got the ball a lot in that Rams offense, barely over 4 yards per carry, super duper low. But he was a high volume guy, and McVay loves to just have one running back just run out there, run him into the ground. So that's why I included him at 10. So Zach Blaine, we'll go sort of snake order. What you got for 6 through 10?
I love it. So I know you said it's hard to rank Josh Jacobs over where you have him, but I did.
I like it.
I got Jacobs at 6, 91.3 rushing grade last season. He was the second best. Is the second best behind Hill, actually. Behind Henry, sorry.
No, you're good.
He also had an 89.2 receiving score, receiving grade. He kind of did it all. He's sort of like a Bucky Irving in the sense of he can do it all. Even if it wasn't as prolific as it was when he was in Vegas, but he's still kind of there. Like, he's still relevant, still really good. And for sure. He makes Green Bay better than when they had A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones. So, like, I think that he did increase Green Bay's not only skill level but watchability. So I've got him at 6. 7, I've got James Conner.
I love that.
He's a guy who I think gets overlooked a lot because he plays in Arizona, and, like, who the hell is watching Arizona? Right. But over the last 3 seasons, he's had the 92.1 cumulative rushing grade, and has kind of been up there in the top 5 of every category. Again, playing in Arizona sort of limits him in exposure to everyday fans that aren't dialed in on Arizona. Number eight, I've got Devon Achane. He is a guy who rookie year had a 93.1 grade. Last year took a little bit of a fall off, but still led the league in receiving yards for running backs. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys, if he gets going, he's going to go. And I believe Mostert is gone. Mm-hmm. I think he went to the Raiders maybe, but he went somewhere. So he's. It appears as though Achane's going to be the number one running back in Miami. And I think that plays a big role. From 8 to 10, I kind of did well, really, yeah, 8 through 10. I kind of did predictions on next season sort of a deal.
I love it.
I think he's going to get back to his elite 2023 season and be a dog. Nine, I got James Cook. If Buffalo had more options outside of just Josh Allen and James Cook, I think that James Cook would be way higher up on this list. Mm-hmm. Granted, I know he's got some issues with wanting more money now, but he rushed a 88.6 PFF grade and forced 26 missed tackles. Like that's an impressive season. So I got him at nine and number 10. I know he's a rookie. I'm going Ashton Jeanty. And this is a quantity over quality type thing. I think he's going to be the workhorse in Vegas. He set a record for 96.6 rushing grade in college. That's a college record. 152 forced missed tackles last season.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
170 yards. He's a dog, and I know that he's a rookie, but he's going to be the focal point of this Vegas offense, and it's going to be nasty, and I'm predicting a big year from him.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That's a fantastic 6-10. Honestly, I can't believe I didn't include James Conner and like James Cook. Like both of the Jameses should have made my list. I don't know how I left them off, but yeah, fantastic. I love it. 6-10 for you, Mr. Tariq. Who you got?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I might actually have to throw in a little audible and change it up a little bit, but
I like it.
You know, after hearing what y'all got to say, but number six, I'm going Jonathan Taylor. I mean, it's just, you know, poor guy, you know, was on the Colts, but I mean, he was still an absolute dog, you know, racked up 1400 rushing yards, yards per carry was like 4.7. So, I mean, he still had an absolute stellar career. And I feel like, you know, he was probably the only person, you know, you would have your eye on, you know, on the Colts, at least I did. So I'm going Josh Jacobs right behind him, though. I think 6 and 7 is kind of like a 1 and 2 situation for me.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm going Josh Jacobs again. Just huge, huge factor in, you know, improving, you know, Green Bay's rushing attack. You know, and number eight, I am gonna go James Conner. I actually had him at 9, but I wanted to bump him up just because, you know, I really like what you say. I feel like I was sleeping on him too. I feel like, you know, he wasn't coming to my mind at first, but, you know, looking at the stats and all that, I mean, he was, you know, he averaged, 5.3 yards per carry, third best in the NFL. It's just, you know, again, it's kind of like the same thing with Jonathan Taylor. You don't really think about, there's just some teams that, you know, you just kind of forget about, or some guys that just don't pop out or whatever, for whatever reason. But, you know, I mean, of course, yeah, he didn't score as many touchdowns as others, but I mean, just very efficient, and I feel like he was, again, huge factor in, you know, helping Cardinals run game succeed. Number nine, I'm going Christian McCaffrey, just out of respect, you know, OG, you know, came off, you know, with all injuries, limited availability and all that, but, you know, wish him all the best, but that's kind of just a courtesy move. So that was my number nine. And then number 10, going Mr. James Cook, and I really don't know what to say other than, you know, kind of what Zach said. I mean, he, from what I've read, he quietly tied the NFL, you know, for rushing touchdowns without even a Pro Bowl nod. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, obviously there's some things like that. Yeah, he wants more money and all that. But I have to say it is also kind of surprising. I feel like I didn't think that he was actually going to be more popular and better than his brother, because I went to FSU my first year, and when I saw Dalvin, I was like, holy shit, this guy's going to be a legend in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, and it then
started off looking like a legend.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know what? It happens in the run game. I mean, hey, Playoff Lenny was a legend himself as well, but
right. You know,
where is he? You know, where is he to be found? But
he's a playoff.
I want to give some honorable mentions real quick, since I feel like we didn't hear. I want to give honorable mention to Joe Mixon, from the Texans. I feel like, again, absolute great season. You know, got that. The offense this year was kind of CJ Stroud himself had a kind of year and all that. But I mean, catch game, run game. I mean, he was a huge factor. I mean, I feel like Joe Mixon's always been up there, so I want to throw him in the honorable mention.
For sure. Yeah, I love it. We've mentioned a lot of great names. And if you're looking for some great options for your wardrobe, if you're looking for some, top 10 options for your own clothing apparel, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great stuff on there. Everything Tampa Bay sports related. I mean, the Sun just won the championship. You know, they just won it all. You got to celebrate. So head there and we'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, CANNONS. Type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order. All right, so we're moving to the second half of our episode, just trying to break down how we arrived to the conclusions that we did. I got to be honest, especially with you, Zach, you made me reconsider my list entirely. Like 6 through 10, I kind of hate my list now. reading y'all's list, I'm like, yeah, like Musab, both of y'all included like guys that I'm like, wow, how could I forget both of the Jameses? I'm yeah, I hate my list now, but I love it. Any other honorable mentions? I know Musab, you shouted out a few, but Zach, do you have any guys that you think, just missed my list?
Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of nailed it on the head with C-Mac, with Christian McCaffrey. It's hard not to put him on the list, but it's a recency bias. He's not been healthy in two seasons.
Right.
I think that the wear and tear is finally starting to catch up to him. Mm-hmm. And I did my list more on coming into this season, not based off necessarily career as a total. That were the case, CMC would have been two. So I feel like he deserves an honorable mention, but he played three games last year, I think.
Yeah.
I couldn't put him up there, but when he's healthy, he's a stud. Like, he's one of the best running backs in the league. It was just what version of him are we getting, and are we going to get a full season of it? And so he would have to be an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it right on the head. You got it completely right. Like, he's not, running back, there's not it's not the quarterback position where, like, if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy, like, the 49ers might win the Super Bowl. That's not the type of impact that he's going to have. Whereas, that would be different if he was playing the quarterback position. But, so the wide variance in his results almost makes him worse, but at the same time, for me, makes him better. But I totally understand leaving him off the list because there's not enough certainty. You know, like you said, he's so injury prone. And I forgot James Conner and James Cook. So he would have absolutely been knocked off my list for James Conner, James Cook, now that I'm looking back on it. That's definitely a tough one. I really like Kenneth Walker. I know he has not been as productive as his draft status and sort of the hype coming into the pros has been. But he's also dealt with a lot of, turmoil, in Seattle. He's dealt with Russell Wilson having that weird thing. And then Geno Smith was really good, but that offensive line is really not. So it's just, he's kind of dealing with a tough situation. So that kind of brings me to my next question for y'all. With Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. How hard is it to separate running backs from their teams to try to properly evaluate, like, how much of his performance, how much of his success is him? How much of it is, he's on a pretty good offense, they schemed well, et cetera, et cetera. How difficult was that for you when making this list?
I think it was definitely something to think about. I feel like, you want to think about the factors that can get in the way, offensive line, the play calling, what the coach wants to do. And then also, if you're 1A, 1B. But, mm-hmm. The things that I, now thinking about it, compared to before is, you want to look at those, like, yards, yards after, yards per carry or yards after catch, those kind of stats, seeing, okay. But on top of that, I mean, just, looking at, your – the load as well as to how much, they're getting in their reps compared to others. So I think those are factors, for sure. But I mean, I have to say, there's still a couple of guys, I feel like, you throwing behind, you know, any kind of offensive line, I still feel like they, you know, they'll make a dent. But
the top two, yeah.
I was just gonna say probably most likely just the top two, if anything. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of factors, and I feel like at the end of the day, you can, you know, really, you know, put any of these guys, you know, up and down, probably say minus those first two, really. I mean, I can't see anyone putting anyone before them, but yeah, that's really about it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's definitely tough for even Saquon and Derrick Henry. I think you saw it towards the end in their 10 years with Tennessee and New York. You know, they started to wane because those teams were really bad. Like, there's a reason both of them were top three picks this year in the draft. Like, they were not good teams. So as much as they could have an impact, like they could take an average or below average team to be a playoff team, like, you know, there aren't very many positions in general, much less the running back position, that could have taken those Giants or Titans teams over the past couple of years and turned them into good teams. So it's tough. It's tough to separate the situation. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm in total agreeance. Especially because if you've got, you know, a crappy quarterback, like if you're running behind Will Levis or Danny Jones, like there's only so much you can do. You know, they're going to load the box. They know what's coming. Defenses in the NFL are really good. They're really smart. Like, they're not going to, you know, go out and run cover four and drop eight guys back into coverage when you've got Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Like, that's just not happening. So it's tough. It can be really difficult, like you said, to just evaluate all the factors and try to come to a consensus because, yeah, running backs is one of the most difficult positions to evaluate for me, just because, like I said, it's hard to separate. But, Zach, you had a great list. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what separated the player from the situation.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the kind of tiers that you said, like 1 through 2, 1 and 2, and then 3 through 5 and 6 through 10. 1 and 2, I think you put them on any team, they make that team better.
For sure.
100%. So for me, in 1 through 2, it's easier to go, those are just great players. Like, I don't think it matters what system they're in. I think they're going to play really well. Granted, now, if you ask Derrick Henry to catch 60 passes a year, it's probably not great. But yeah, you get my point. Like, if they're asked to play running back in any offense, I think they do good. 3 through 5 is another scenario where I think most teams, 25 out of the 32 teams, if you put them on, they make that team better. They play well. Those are also guys who split time a lot. Right. So it's like I kind of look into it and I go, well, they split time, so they probably would be more efficient or better, have bigger stats if they didn't split time. Bijan, not so much. That was just a product of him playing in Atlanta. But yeah, the other two split time, they probably would have had higher stats and been league leader type stats if they weren't splitting time.
Sure.
And then 6 through 10 are guys that I think you have to look into the team they play for. Like, if you put James Conner in Tampa, I don't think he's going to put up stats like he puts up in Arizona.
Right.
And that's just because I think that they scheme around him or scheme for him and it works out well. And that kind of goes for the bottom five of my list is there's team situations and stuff that make it to where they're either playing good or they've dropped down because of the team that they're on.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I try and separate it. I don't necessarily think it's hard to separate, but for me, that's like – the team you play on and everything depicts on my list where you're going to be ranked.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation. I know that there's a podcast I listen to by Sumer Sports. They're doing a sticky stats series where they're trying to find things that have a high correlation, like a high probability of repeating each year. And running backs, they were like, by golly, who knows? You know, like, it was kind of like shrug your shoulders type of thing. So with that in mind, are there any guys that y'all can think of, maybe that weren't honorable mentions or maybe that weren't even really close to your top 10, that maybe could be a sleeper for this season? I know for me, a big one, I mean, these are mostly rookies that I'm talking about, but maybe if you have like a second year, third year guy, or maybe someone that's fallen out of favor that you think could have a resurgence or what have you. But for me, it's definitely Trevion Henderson, the rookie at Ohio State on the Patriots. I just think that, like, I like Ramondre Stevenson, but man, I really like Travion Henderson. Like, I think he's going to be outstanding. And, you know, they have kind of rebuilt that offensive line, or at least they've tried to in New England. They also have a new coach in Mike Vrabel. And you know how he was in Tennessee. And so I think that having two running backs like that, they could very easily both have pretty good years.
Yeah.
And I think Henderson could be a sneaky good, especially for fantasy. Like, I think he could be a sneaky factor in the backfield as a pass catcher, but I think he could even be like a more traditional running back too. So I'm pretty excited to see what he can do in New England. But Musab, how about you, man? Are there any sleepers, maybe guys that we're not mentioning at all that could maybe jump or sneak into the top 10 next season?
You know, I wish Cam Skatebo all the best because he's in a very depressing organization. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an absolute dog. I mean, mm-hmm. I saw what he did at Arizona State. So I feel like he can make a name for himself, but it's just going to end up, you know, if anything, he's going to be one of those 6-10 kind of players because, you know, that's all where you can put him unless, you know, he becomes God and, you know. Helps the Giants, you know, win the championship or something, then I'll put him one or two. But
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Cam's tough. And like you said, it might take him becoming like a minor deity for the Giants to turn it around, especially to become a productive running back. Like, they had Tyrone Tracy, who was kind of fun, but like, you know, more of a product of just the fact that like they didn't trust Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke or whoever the heck they had under center to throw the ball. So they were just kind of like, hey, go get him, kid. It's, you know, it's kind of tough. But yeah, I really like Cam Skatabu. Okay, thanks.
Skatabu.
If he landed in a better situation, I'd be so much higher on him, and especially in terms of fantasy value. But yeah, it's going to be tough to see him go out there and do his thing in New York. But Zach, how about you, man? Are there any guys that we haven't mentioned yet?
I mean, you mentioned two of my – I had three guys that I think could surprise us. Okay. Two of them played for the Giants. It was either Tyrone Tracy or Cam Skatabu, whoever starts there. Right. Or even split – I think they'll split time, if I'm being honest. Yep. Both have potential to be really good. I'm not as low on the Giants as you guys are, and I know that's crazy because I hate the Giants, but I maybe not this season, but once Jackson Dart takes over, I hope it's this season because I don't think Russell Wilson's good anymore, like, respectfully. Right. So I think Jackson Dart changes a lot of things in New York, and Skatabu and Tyrone Tracy can both kind of benefit from that. And I mean, you guys nailed it on the head with Skatabu. He's just a stud. Like, he's a dog in the most just evil way you can be. Like, he's just nasty. And then my other one is another Ohio State running back, Quinshon Judkins on the Browns.
Yeah.
Because Chubb is gone. Maybe Jerome Ford is still there, but like, I think he's going to be RB1 in Cleveland, and he's just as good, if not better, than Henderson, in my opinion. So I think those two, Henderson was a great shout, and Judkins is my number one pick to surprise people.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, both Judkins and Henderson, Ohio State had such just an embarrassment of riches in so many ways.
So nasty.
Yeah. But especially in the running back room, you know, you think about both of those guys, and theoretically, like, if you forced me to pick one, like, I don't know who I would choose.
Exactly. That's why you took Henderson. I was like, all right, this works out perfect. Because
yeah, for sure.
Gave me an easier out to go, yeah, I'm going to go Judkins.
Right. Yeah, and I really love R.J. Harvey for the Broncos. I think Sean Payton's going to do some really, really creative stuff with him.
My only reason I didn't say R.J. Harvey was because they brought in two running backs as well, free agents, if I'm not mistaken. J.K. Dobbins just went there, right?
Yep.
So they got J.K. Dobbins, who has not been awful. Like, if he could find a home and stay there, I think he could be a serviceable running back.
Yeah.
And they brought in somebody else. I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. But that's my only worry with R.J. Harvey is I don't think he's going to get RB1 carries. And that's, unfortunately, for a running back, if you're not getting RB1 carries or at least split in time, you're not going to be very effective.
For sure. Yeah, no, totally agreed. It's definitely one of those That's definitely maybe if you have like the last pick in the draft and you want a bench player, RJ Harvey might be like a flyer.
Exactly, because he could pop off.
Yeah, while I think the two Ohio State running backs could theoretically be like starting running backs in a lot of fantasy leagues.
Agreed.
Pretty quickly too. So yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. We're going to be coming back with another position rankings because these have been fun. I've been having a good time. I don't know about y'all, but this has been a good time. And you know, we'll try to think. I think we'll probably either do I don't know, cornerbacks, maybe pass rushers. I don't know. We'll decide, but we'll figure it out. But and also, obviously, if there are any Bucks news, we'll definitely keep y'all in the loop, keep y'all updated. But it's been kind of quiet on that front, so we've been trying to mix it up a little bit. But definitely like and subscribe if you want to keep yourself updated. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. Thank you to my two wonderful co-hosts for making my job much easier. And we'll see y'all next week. But as always, go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.